Okay, we'll be learning in the Derech Hashem in the handouts on page 130. Page 130. We're going to be talking about Kriya Shema and Shemon Esrei. Can you be selected? And this shiur is sponsored in memory of Sheila Katz, Shifra Matel Bas Eliezer, by her husband Stanley. Neshama should have an aliyah. So page 130 in the Derech Hashem. The title of the perek is Bikriya Shema Ubirchoseha, regarding the saying of the Shema and its brachos. Aleph. Shtei avodos hutlu aleinu. There are two types of avoda, service of Hashem, that are upon us. La'avod lefanav yisporach shemo, sorry, yisporach, yom biyomo. To serve Hashem, yisporach, each and every day. V'hein anei ar ha'kriya shema v'hatfila, the saying of Shema and Shemon Esrei. So those are daily avodas, Shema and Shemon Esrei. Ubizman beis hamikdash hatamidin v'hamusafim. And when we had the beis hamikdash, our daily avoda was the korban tamid that was brought each day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, and on special yom tovim, we brought the korban musaf. V'atan neva'er inyana. Now we will explain these two topics, Shema and Shemon Esrei. We'll beginning with the Shema. The first is the saying of the Shema, and the nature of Shema is twofold. Yichudo Yisparach, Hashem's oneness, His absolute oneness, Yichud Hashem, like we say Hashem Echad, V'kabolas Ol Malchuso, and accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, our responsibilities to Shemayim. Now, very important here at the very beginning that the Ramchal is letting us know that in the proclamation, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, when we say those words, we are proclaiming Hashem's absolute oneness, but at the same time, we are accepting upon ourselves Ol Malchus Shemayim. Literally in English, the yoke of heaven, our guidance, our Achrayus toward Hashem. And it's very important to make note of that, and we'll see this as we proceed through these parakim, because we don't say anything like that when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso L'Olam Voed. We're not saying Hare Ani Mekabel Al Atzmi, I accept upon myself Ol Malchus Shemayim. We don't say anything like that. It's a proclamation. So this yesod that the Ramchal is teaching us here is that in this proclamation of Kriya Shema, there are two dimensions. One is Hashem's absolute oneness, and the other is our acceptance of Ol Malchus Shemayim. And we will explore that. Now the Ramchal, as we know, as we have learned already, Baruch Hashem, many, many times in the Sefer, his derech, his mahalach, is when he presents a concept, he makes a binyan, a structure, and he puts down a layer, and then another layer, and another layer, and as you build the concept, the ideas start to emerge from that binyan, from that structure. So he's going to begin from the yesod, from the foundation of Kriya Shema, and build his way up. That's his mahalach. V'ho inyan. And the matter is as follows: Ki habori yisporach shema, Hashem yisporach, himtzi biritzono. He brought into existence. That's himtzi. That's a hefil form, to cause. Hashem brought into existence in His will, as an act of will. Nimtzaim shonim, different beings, different existences. Elyonim betachtonim. There are higher realms, and there are lower realms. Ruchniim v'gashmim, spiritual creation, and physical creation. So spiritual reality is just as real as physical reality. We can't see it, we can't touch it, but it's just as real. And the malachim and the kochos that inhabit higher olamos, they're just as real as we are. And the gashmiim is physical reality, the place where we reside, olam hazeh. V'sidram b'sidorim shonim. And Hashem was mesader everything. He arranged everything in specific ways. V'nasan b'cho kol echad mehem lifol pa'ulos. And Hashem placed it within the nature or the working principles of each and every thing in creation to perform certain functions, lifol pa'ulos, v'la'asos ma'asim, and to do things, lehiskalgil begilgulim ubesibuvim rabim, to go about, their going is about, and the various cycles, ubidrachim shonim, and in many ways, according to how Hashem distributed in His wisdom to each and everyone. Pilga is to distribute. V'omna, moreover, hine hu yisporach shemo hashoresh v'hasiba l'kulam. Hashem yisporach is the true cause, the true source behind all of these things. So the sun rises, the sun sets, and gravity works, and the world turns, and the universe functions, and everything is doing its particular role. But behind all of that, moving all of that, of course, is Hashem. V'inyan zeh muvan b'shtei b'chinos. And this can be understood in two ways. B'b'chinas ha-metziyus u'b'b'chinas ha-pa'ula. One dimension of this is mitzius, that means existence. The second is pa'ula, which means function. So Hashem is behind everything in existence and behind everything also in function, as he's going to explain that. So firstly, bibechinas ha-mitzius, in terms of existence, being, ma'ashe kevar bi'arnu b'chelik rishon, that which we have said earlier, in the first section of the book, and over there in the first parak of this sefer, the Ramchal mentions what he calls Shesh Yidios Shoreshios, six tenets, six foundations of the Jewish belief. One of them is Eich Kol HaMetziuyos Kulam Teluyim Bo Yisporach, how all of reality is dependent upon Hashem. V'nimshachi meritzono, and it comes forth as a product of Hashem's will. So everything which is, which has being, which exists, it's totally on Hashem. It only exists because it has an association with Hashem's ratzon that allows that to be. Masha'eino kein mitzi'uso, which is not the case with Hashem's existence, His own mitzius. Shehu mitzius muchrach mitzad atzmo. Hashem's existence is intrinsically absolute. Meaning, ubilti nitle bezulaso, He's not dependent on any other thing. So, if we look around us, right, the smallest thing to the greatest thing, the universe, physical reality, spiritual reality, it's all totally on Hashem. All the great malachim that we talk about, Michael, Gavriel, Rafael, they couldn't budge if it were not for Hashem giving them power to exist. And the smallest ant. However, when it comes to Hashem Himself, nothing is making God exist. He's not reliant on anything. He's not drawing life from anybody. It's all from within Himself. Encompassed in Hashem's shleimus, in His perfection, is being. That He simply is in and of Himself, and nothing is making Him be. That's one of the Sheish Yedio Shoreshios that the Ramchal mentions at the beginning of the Sefer that he reiterates here because it's going to be applicable to what we're learning. And that's how God is different, one of the ways, of course, in which Hashem is different than anything else in the world. We're all dependent. He's completely in and of himself existence. And the Ramchal's language for that is Mukhrach Mitzad Atzmot. He is intrinsically an absolute existence, not reliant. Bilti Nit Lebezulasa. So when a little child asks, as all children do at some point, and we often do so as adults, so who made God? Who brought God here? Nobody. Hashem is. He simply is in and of himself. Well, how does that mean? Nobody else is like that? That's right. Nobody else is like that. Hashem is unique. However, kol sha'ar ha-metziuyos ein lehem metziuyos ella mitzad shehu yisporah shemo ratza vahem u'mekayimam birtzono. All other things that exist only exist in that Hashem wills them to exist and sustains them through his will. So that's in terms of mitzius. Hashem is absolute in existence. All existence goes back to him. So that's echad b'mitzius. He's one. He's the only truly one existence. Everything has to be associated back in that direction. That's mitzius. Now there's another one. The second one is b'bechinas ha-pa'ula. That Hashem is absolute and one when it comes to function. Who? Sha'af alpi she'nitan b'chukam shel ha'nivroim. Even though that it was given over within the nature of all things, of all created things, lishlot b'inyanin, that everything rules over something. It has its domain. It has its authority. Ma she'yicholtam ma'kefes, that which their own abilities encompass. So every single thing has its range of function and operation, what it can do. Upo'alim pa'ulos gedolos, and they do great things. Kol echad kefi ma'asha b'chok pa'ulos, so everything within the nature of its own natural existence that God gave it. Hine be'emes, but in truth, ein bohem koach velo shlita. Nothing has power and nothing has any sense of authority. Elamasha masar lahem habori yisporach shemo, except that which was given over to them by Hashem. So now we're not talking about the fact that things exist. That was the first premise. Now we're talking about that things function. So going back to the sun, right? The sun which does so many things to benefit our own life every single second of the day, it has a range of operation. That's its pa'ula, what it does for the world, for people. That's its pa'ula. But of course you have to trace that back to Hashem. That's assigned by God, it comes from God, and the moon and the stars and everything else. Yisporach Shemo. Now we're on the top of 131. Shehu ha'adon ha'amiti, because Hashem is the true master, ha'shalit v'kol yachol, who has absolute rule and absolute ability, omnipotent. He's the only being like that as well. V'kol ma'ashehem po'alim, and any function which any being does, eino ela ma'ashehu yisparach shemo, is only because Hashem Nasan v'nosein lohem koach sheyifalu. He gave them the ability and the power to do that and continues to give them. If Hashem didn't continue to allow the sun to do what it does, it would stop doing it. So it's every single moment. V'hu adon aleihem. And Hashem is the master over all of this lahosif. He can add on to the pa'ula. V'ligroa, he can take away from it. Kirit sano, according to his will, b'chol esu b'chol sha, at every instant and at all times. So the first one is echad b'metzius, in existence, all existence goes back to Hashem. The second is echad b'pa'ula, all function goes back to Hashem, is distributed by the Ribono Shel Olam. Notice the use by the Ramchal of the word adon. And we have to pay attention to the way he refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's teaching us something. So in this paragraph here, toward the end, on the top of 131, he says, Shehu ha'adon ha'amiti. Now that gives us some insight into these words, Adon Olam, right? Baruch ato ado Shem. So that word Adon, mastery, so that implies that Hashem is the master over all function, presides over all function, distributes all function. That's all beneath the word Adon. Adon ha'amiti, he's the one who's truly the Poel behind everything else. Okay, those are the first two premises. Any questions or comments before we move on? Yeah, please, Mrs. Fran.
This isn't really directly related, but I was thinking how strange it is that Hashem creates Malachim to say Shira before him, right? He doesn't need the Shira. Right. Is that a paradigm for us?
Most definitely. And everything that Hashem does that we know about, because there's so much that he does that we don't know about, everything he does that we know about is meant to be some type of paradigm and lesson and teaching for us. So if Malachim are singing Shira, because that's how God made them, that's meant to make an impression upon us that these holy beings that perceive Hashem so clearly, they're full of song for Hashem. So we would like to follow suit and sing our own song for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's meant to be a lesson. So in addition to that being part of the makeup of the universe, that Malachim sing Shira to Hashem, so the world is, if we could hear it, the world is always giving up a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can participate in that, in our own Shira to Hashem. Another example, just following on what Mrs. Frand is bringing out, so when Hashem says, Na'asa Adam in Bereishis, let us make man. So of course all the Mephoreshim say, why is he saying let us? He makes man himself, he doesn't need anybody's help. So Rashi brings down the Chazal that Hashem is teaching us a lesson to consult with people. And not only that, but even to consult with those who may be less wise than we are, because who's as wise as Hashem? Nobody. And yet he consults. Why? Because he had to? No, because he wanted to teach us to consult. So that act of creation, Na'asa Adam, the way he made mankind, is meant to be an insight for us when we create. And it's built into the universe because that's how Hashem created man. So all of those things that we see, not only that are directly us, but the way God brought it into the world is a limud for our own relationship with our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, Elka, please.
Excuse me. I'm not sure how to phrase this exactly, but I know Hashem is not... Hashem created time, and I understand that. This world is 5,000-whatever-something years old. What was Hashem doing before that?
What was he doing, right? Right. Now, of course, we don't know, right? Hashem is Hashem. He's perfect in and of himself. That's what he's doing. He's being Hashem. So unlike us, he doesn't need to keep himself busy and be productive. He is. Just by definition, he is God. He's Shalom. He's perfect. And that's what he's doing. He's being God. I've no idea what that means, but that's what's happening with Hashem. And at that moment, if we can use that word, that he created time, now we have an idea of before and after, but so to speak, before we were here, there was no such thing as before and after. He made that reality of past, present, and future. So we think about what was he doing before. There was no before. He is Hashem, and he's also Hashem now, which we don't comprehend. He never changed. The world is here. It wasn't here before. The world had the Bria. There was a time there was no universe. Hashem never changed. That's incomprehensible to us. Whatever he was doing then, he's doing now. And he hasn't changed. All the change is in us. So those are difficult things to grasp. And that's why I really like to say he's just being Hashem.
So when it says, yeah.
Right.
Decided to create this world and be a giver.
So remember, there's no before.
Right, yes.
There is no such thing as before. He made the world when he made it. There was no such thing as before. So he created the world, and I want to just change that lashon a little bit, not because he wanted to be a giver. The Ramchal's language was leheitiv mituvo, to give good of his good, lezulaso, to another. Now, we know, based on our own premises, Hashem has no needs. He's not lacking anything. He doesn't have to fill up a void. So that act of creation was a complete and total act of giving, which is not doing anything for Hashem himself. He's not more perfect now than he was before. It's just a complete and total act of giving. So somehow, whatever he was before, he is now. He didn't change. But he gave completely for us. That's how that came into being. And before this world, if we can say that, he was just as much as a Meitiv as he is now. Because there was no time. There was no anything like that before.
Thank you. I don't understand.
Yeah. It's a hard one. Please, yeah.
Is it possible there were all kinds of other worlds before this one that we don't know?
When the Chachamim say that Hashem created and destroyed worlds before this world, I want to tell you what the Ramchal says that means. It doesn't mean that there were different universes before our world. It means that that was part of the creation of this world. That on the way toward the creation of our Olam, Olam Hazeh, Hashem made a process of creation and destruction. So in that spiritual reality, which is on the way down to our physical world, which is part of the process of creation, Hashem created and destroyed, created and destroyed. And what that did, going back really to our first question here, is that that became part of the fabric of the universe, that there is such a thing called creation and destruction.
Okay.
So God put that into the way the world is and the way the world operates. He put that creation and destruction paradigm and possibility in our world by creating and destroying on the way to this world.
But we know that this is it, that it's all about this.
It's all about this world. Yeah, this is the center of all things, and human beings are the center of this world. Yeah. Yeah. I believe he says that if I remember correctly in the I want to say in the Klach, he said a sefer called Klach Pischei Chachma. I think that's where I saw it.
Not in English.
Not in English. don't hold your breath. Mrs. Schumann, please, yeah.
So when those worlds that he created and destroyed prior to this world, were they similar to this world? Did they have living beings?
No, they're spiritual realities. Spiritual realities, you know. Worlds of perfection, so to speak, completion, and then destroying them. Uh-huh. And there are no people inhabiting those worlds. Those are like realms. A realm is a good way to say it. They're realms. And those realms are created and destroyed, and that lingers. That lingers in the atmosphere of our world and creates that possibility in human life. Yes, please, Regina.
I heard that Hashem, because he's right, he's here, he's in the past, and in the future.
Right.
So how does that work?
That's him. That's him. Ha Yehovah V'yihia.
I mean, you know, like if Hashem is before and here and in the future, how is he doing everything at the same time? Everything.
You're asking me? You know, God is different than us. Lo machshavosai machshavoseichem. So even though Hashem is past, present, future, contains all things, yet in our created world, there's such a thing as present. And we do have dimensions of time. We do recognize a past and a future, a past which is gone and a future which is not yet here. But in Hashem's being, that's all the same. It's not in ours. We also can't grasp that. That's beyond human comprehension. We can talk about it, but we can't really grasp it. But the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei also connotes that, Ho-Yahoveh-Vi-Yah, which goes back to this idea of Hashem being the intrinsic, absolute existence, being in and of itself. Yeah, please, sir. No, no, Gan Eden was this part of this reality. Gan Eden is already part of the creation of our world. So on the way toward this spiritual process, chaining down, we discussed Hishtal Shalus, coming down, finally a world is made. In that world was Gan Eden. That place was locked off once Adam and Chava left there. Please. The top of the Hishtal Shalus chain?
Yeah.
In terms of Gan Eden?
Yeah.
It's toward the very bottom. Because that Gan Eden was right over here where we are. It was above us, that realm Adam and Chava lived in, it's above us, but it's right in this Olam Hazeh world. God put people there, Adam and Chava. And when people are put somewhere, as the Torah says, we're already in our realm. That's right. It's a Kodem HaChet place. It's our world Kodem HaChet, before the sin of Adam and Chava. It's this world on a higher plane. Can you physically walk into Gan Eden? I don't know. Is it this one dimension above ours that Hashem locked it off with the sword turning about? Is it one dimension above ours so you really can't walk physically in, or is it actually somewhere here and you can? I don't know. My hunch is that it's one dimension above ours and you can't just find it and walk right into it. I don't think so. Yes, please. Yes, we will. And when we leave this world, we go up into Shemaim, and there are very many levels of Gan Eden. There's Gan Eden HaTachton, which means lower Gan Eden. There's Gan Eden HaElyon, which is higher Gan Eden. And then that higher Gan Eden, relative to the place above it, is a lower Gan Eden, which then a higher. It's all level after level. So Gan Eden is where we get to when we leave this world. That's part of Olam Haba. That's pretty much where we live. In Olam Haba is in Gan Eden, and we keep climbing up the ladder of Gan Eden in the world to come. In the time of Mashiach, I don't know how Gan Eden is in terms of this world, and when Mashiach comes, will there be some kind of accessibility to a Gan Eden-like place in our world? I don't know. I wonder about that, because usually Gan Eden is spoken about as where we go to when we leave this world. Yes, please. We'll go down the road there. Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay. I was just thinking something. Yeah. When children are brought up from the Rosh Yeshiva their whole life, and then they get this thing in their head, unfortunately sometimes, and they think, you know, why is Hashem needing me to do all this? You know, what's his, you know, I have to show him all. Yeah, I've heard kids go through
sure. This.
You know, Baruch Hashem, I haven't experienced it long in my house, and I'm happy to say that, but I know many women do. You know, the kids go through mm-hmm. the single, you know, forget it, I'm not, you know, where's the mm-hmm. old man? What does he need me for? And they have, so what do you answer?
So to me, there's two parts to that. One part is that the deeper part of what that child or teenager or adult may be asking is, what's my purpose in the world? Why does God need me? What's my role here? Does my life have meaning? I think that's the deeper question. And so therefore, what needs to be addressed there is that your life does have meaning. Let's try and explore and find out what it is. You know, what are your talents? What are your kochos? And your life has meaning. I think that's what's going on underneath that. If it's a more of an, just say, an intellectual, so to speak, question, then the answer is, yes, it's true that God doesn't need us. We're not making God better. He put us here for ourselves. He put us here to become something, to to earn a relationship with Him, with our Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we're not improving on God, but we are improving on ourselves on a regular basis. So in those two directions, I think.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mrs. Rani, you had a comment?
So I'm confused all over again between Olam HaNeshamos
right.
and Gan Eden
okay.
and Olam Haba.
Okay. Good. So Olam HaNeshamos, which we talked about, is when a person leaves this world and their body is in the graves, in the kever, their neshama goes to a place in Shamayim called Olam HaNeshamos. And there the neshamos stay until Tchiyas HaMesim. Now, Olam HaNeshamos has many different chambers, you could say. So, for example, Gehenim is part of Olam HaNeshamos, in case a neshama needs to be cleansed. And there are also different levels of Gan Eden in Olam HaNeshamos, where they start to get a level of schar from what the person did here, and Devekus. So that's all prior to Tchiyas HaMesim. Now, once you have Tchiyas HaMesim and the guf and the neshama are rejoined and they're catapulted into a much higher realm of being, at that point, I don't know if we refer to that as Gan Eden anymore, or is that just something even beyond Gan Eden? In terms of terminology, that's the state of eternal closeness to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is it called Gan Eden? I'm not sure. But in terms of when we leave this world and we're in the Olam HaNeshamos, there are levels of Gan Eden there.
So when we discuss Olam Haba,
that's Tchiyas HaMesim. Yeah,
okay.
By definition, Olam Haba is Tchiyas HaMesim. Even though colloquially speaking, when we say a person leaves this world to go to Olam Haba, and you can say that, that's how people talk, but that really means Olam HaNeshamos. The real Olam Haba is Tchiyas HaMesim.
Here or there?
No, in a different reality. The whole reality has changed. Everything has changed. Mm-hmm. Please, Ellen.
So I have two. Mm-hmm. The first one is just what you said before. I wasn't aware of that book that you mentioned. Are there a lot of books by the Ramchal besides the ones that we all know about?
Most. Most of what he wrote, literally, is not known by most people. Oh no! I couldn't understand it. Most of what the Ramchal wrote is Kabbalistic writings that are almost impossible to.
But they are available.
They're available, but a translation ain't gonna help. It's talking a different language. Now he wrote a lot of other sforim, that are accessible. They're not as well known, but they've been printed in the past 20 years. They're green volumes of the Ramchal Sforum, and a lot of them have been produced fairly recently, and many of those are learnable. But once he gets into his realm of Sifrei Kabbalah, using that nomenclature and terminology, then it's a whole different thing. The Ramchal was extremely prolific, and we don't even have a lot of what he wrote. He wrote thousands and thousands of pages. Yeah.
Sorry. So then the other thing was the thing about the ox turning thing to lock away. I haven't heard that. I need to hear that.
The what?
Did you say something about an ox turning
a lock? No, that's the sword that goes round about, that the Torah mentions when Hashem ejected Adam and Chava from Gan Eden. There's the cherev, lahar hacherev hamisapech, a turning sword at the entrance to Gan Eden. Right.
Okay,
Right. Right. There's a book that you might like. It's translated into English. It's called Das Tavunos, The Knowing Heart.
Yeah, I read that.
Okay.
I hadn't heard that
one.
That sounds
whoa. Okay. Okay, good. Yes, please, go.
Just to clarify, we tend to say Olam Haba about where a neshama goes, but that's really not the correct
term. It's not really the correct term, even though we call Olam Haba the place where a person's neshama goes after someone dies. That it really is Olam HaNeshamos that they're going to. But it's okay. People call it Olam Haba. That's the common
language. Okay. How does Shemayim relate
same.
To Olam HaNeshamos?
Same. When we say someone goes to Shemayim, we're talking about going to Olam HaNeshamos. Okay. That's what we mean. Okay. Sure. Sandy, yes, please. Yes.
But Hashem gave us the drive to learn, to understand, and yet we're finite. We can't grasp the infinite. But He gave us the drive to try.
Right.
And I guess that's our struggle.
Yes. I mean, the Rambam says in one of his writings that the ultimate of knowledge is to know that we don't know. So there's something about not knowing, too. And to... We, no matter how high we grow, and hopefully we're growing in our knowledge, that realm of the unknowable is always there, always be there. And some of that is what keeps us, you know, going, because we want to know, we want to know. But part of knowledge is knowing that we don't know. That is knowledge in and of itself. And that's also part of the inspiration toward growth. Yeah. Yes, please, Dory. Yeah, in Olam HaNeshamos there is some schar for the mitzvahs that we did here for the neshama, but the neshama is there without the guf. The guf is in the kever. So that's not really the final place. Hashem made a person to be neshama and guf together. So that's considered incomplete. The schar that the neshama is getting there in Olam HaNeshamos is an incomplete schar. When it comes back together with the goof and now you have a whole human being, that schar is complete, and that's the one that is nitzchius. And another way to look at it, which I think is very beautiful, is that when the neshama gets schar by itself, it's not sharing. It's taking the schar, but which it earned, but it's not sharing it. So that's not complete. The real experience of schar is when a person has something and shares it. So guf and neshama together are sharing their schar. They both earned it, and they both share it together. That's really the ultimate experience. Otherwise, if we're lacking that, it's, you know, just not... I don't want to call it self-centered, because the neshama is not self-centered, but it's just itself at that point. Right. No. We the goof is part of who we are. And it will be transported, or transformed into a different kind of goof at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim. But it's still related to our goof. It's still us in a higher form. Yeah, please. The brach is Shlo Asani Goy, not Goya. Shlo Asani Goy is just one word for that. Even though Goya is feminine, but the bracha, the language of the Chazal is Shlo Asani Goy. And what happens to the soul of a non-Jewish person is, if they are one of the Chasidei Umos HaOlam, if they're a righteous Gentile, they have a portion in Olam Haba. They have Nitzchius. They have an eternal life. And if they do not become a righteous Gentile, then they do not have a portion in Olam Haba, and there's no Nitzchius there, there's no eternal life there. But they can earn it by becoming a righteous Gentile. That's very unique to Yiddishkeit. Now, for those who have looked into other religions, in general, in most other religions, there is a place for that religion only in the world to come. And Judaism is very unique in that there are Jews who have a relationship with Hashem through Torah and mitzvahs, and there are non-Jews who have a relationship with Hashem through Shavah mitzvahs b'nei Noah, and you can earn a portion in Olam Haba as a Gentile. And we really have to appreciate what that means, because if you look around at what's happening in the world today and the people who are killing other people who are infidels, there's no room for anybody else who's not a member of your religion or even the same, you know, swath of your religion. B'nai Noach, sure. B'nai Noach is a general terminology for Gentiles. Yeah, that's what they're striving to do. The Noahites. Yes, please, Mrs. Nagy.
Just interesting that you have to wait literally an eternity for the actual stuff.
Right, well, you have to wait till you get to eternity.
Right.
We don't have to wait an eternity. It's this world,
which
is keharifying, like the blink of an eye. It seems like it's taking a little longer than that. And then there's Olam HaNeshamos and Mashiach, and then...
You know how long people are waiting
for? All this time.
Right.
All this time. Right.
Right.
Right. That's right. They're not looking at the clock. Right. We are. We are. But there's no time there. That's true. But there's process there. Because neshamas do grow, they get higher based on the mitzvahs they did here. There is process, but it's true, we can't call it time. So until Tchiyas HaMesim comes, then everybody is waiting for that moment to come. Relative to eternity, this is a very brief period of time, the 6,000 years of creation, right? Yeah. Gail, please, yes. Oh, I'm sorry, I just skipped over Mrs. Newman, you had a hand up. I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
I have two questions. I was wondering, when we say to someone, when, you know, someone passes away, that their neshama should have an aliyah,
mm-hmm.
It sounds like all neshamas have an aliyah.
They do. And there are certain times when neshamas have a greater aliyah. So, for example, on somebody's yahrzeit, when a yahrzeit comes, the neshama in Shemayim goes up. That's part of what happens on that day. That's one of the reasons Kaddish is said on that day. That's also why some people make a l'chaim on that day, other people fast, whatever the hanhoga is, because the neshama on that day is going higher in the Olam HaNeshamos. That's by virtue of that time of the year comes when it left this world, and it continues that pathward upward each yahrzeit. In addition to that, a neshama can have an aliyah in the next world based on, for example, the influence that it had on people in this world. So if we do a tova based on what we learned from somebody, and that person has passed away, they're going higher every time we do a tova because they're partially responsible for it. And in that respect, neshamas are going up all the time. But the yahrzeit is very specific.
But that's like, so when you say we're doing this in memory mm-hmm. of this, we're hoping that their
that's right.
neshama would go to a different sphere.
Right.
A higher sphere.
A higher place, right. Mm-hmm. Gail, you have a comment there?
I was going to ask about that. Okay. The ways the neshama gets our neshama. So it's the reverberations of
what happened here.
Done.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also the yard site itself has an elevating effect. Mm-hmm. And what's the difference? People who are their yard site is no longer being observed by people in this world.
There's a few generations past, right?
Yeah.
It's done. Kaddish doesn't need to be said anymore. It's done. So when they rise up there in Olam HaNeshamos, it's just happening. It's no longer connected to someone saying Kaddish or making a L'chaim. The generations come and go. So, you know, as we see, we're not saying Kaddish for people who lived 200 years ago. That has its time.
So, because I've been wondering about different people that I know their yard sites, should I be, you know, like a great-great-grandma, what would be the impact of my lighting a yard site candle?
You could light a yard site candle.
What is the impact of
that? That has some kind of aliyah's neshama component to it, near neshama, the yard site candle. You could. You don't have to light for a great-grandparent. You don't have to, but there's nothing wrong with it. I probably wouldn't take it beyond that. It's just the two doros about is probably about the maximum, yeah. Revison, did you have a hand up before?
Yeah.
Please, Mrs. Pollock. Yeah.
You had mentioned Tchiyas HaMesim,
yeah.
That the main thing is when the neshama and the night.
Right.
So like you imagine the people who are nifter and they're buried and they're, you know, it's a different kind of guf. Right?
Yes.
But mm-hmm. it's somewhat similar to what's in the, you know, buried. What about the people in the crematorium? Like if they, you know, people who are cremated, you know, like what happens?
Right. So
it's a big Indian.
Yeah,
know.
Sure. Sure. In terms of, let's put it into two categories. Cremation, right, chas v'shalom, which is not the Jewish way of burial. So that's very harmful for the process that the goof has to go through. Right, so that's the other. The person is killed, al kiddush Hashem, like in the Holocaust. Those people were burned. That does not in any way, you know, harm their process. That becomes part of Misa al kiddush Hashem, and there's nothing greater than that. So Hashem will rebuild their bodies. You know, he's not limited. He's not limited. So we're not concerned about that, their tchiyas hameisim, if their process was a Misa al kiddush Hashem. That has a special elevated nature to it. Hashem will come in and take care of it. Even though they were never zochet to kavura, as we know it, but Misa Kiddush Hashem has its own standards, which are very, very lofty ones. Okay, yes, Elka, then Ms. Frenham will stop you, please.
I just had another question.
Please. It's what?
It's a created world.
Sure.
So
created by Hashem.
Created by Hashem. Mm-hmm.
Time is only part of Olam Hazeh. It's part of Teva. Time and Teva are related. And there's no natural, this worldly Teva in those realms. They have their own principles and their own, so to speak, Teva. But it's not an Olam Hazeh Teva.
So when we're talking about on the York side, if there's no time...
Because there's a correlation. When it becomes the day of the Yahrzeit here in our world, and today, Chaf Hei Shabbat, when it becomes that day, there's a correlation between our world and Shemayim. It's Chaf Hei Shabbat up there too, in its own way. It's not time in our way, but there's a correlation between our world and those worlds.
Is that process?
I think that's called process up there in those olamos, yeah. I can take one more, please, Mrs. Fran. Yeah, the lecture.
I've been out here that the neshama has less and less contact with this world.
No, I was saying that at a certain point, as the generations pass, so Kaddish is not being said for those people anymore,
right.
And that's okay. Like that time has ended. Does that mean that their neshamas are so far up that at that point it doesn't matter anymore? I don't know. Or does it simply mean it's not necessary anymore? I don't know.
But we drop in at Heather or Tzadik.
Right, right. So there's still something. There's always something. There's some kind of hashra'as ha-nefesh. It's called a lingering quality of the soul of that person that resides at the Kever always. So there's some connection.
Wouldn't there be a difference there? The tzaddik, you know, probably isn't coming back. But anybody else, by past a few generations, may have had to come back.
You mean in terms of the Gilgal? Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It's a very good three words for me to end this class on. I don't know. Ashikar, very nice discussion. And great to see you again back in our learning sessions. And we'll see you, Bezras Hashem, next week. Have a great week, everybody. You can keep the handout if you want. Thanks, Joe.